Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
No, Ken Daniels one of the best in the business, but that if I have to hear that effing phrase one more time, I'm going to lose it.
We'll take that.
Yeah, this is it, you can replace caller DJ's word up dough with we'll take that. Yeah, we'll take that city. Hey, we're not good enough to do any of our own work, so hey, someone help me, I'm poor. We'll take that. We'll take that.
Those are the people who said I'm not moving the bar.
We'll take that.
I'm not moving the bar. I said at the beginning, not me, but at the beginning of the year, let's play some meaningful hockey games. Let's be in a run for the playoffs.
And we'll take that.
All of that happened, but you needed to move the bar. Hey, those people did not move the bar.
Don't win a game the whole month of March. We'll take that. Here's the deal.
But with 3 seconds left, the joy and the jubilation that you felt, Mike.
No.
It's unbridled.
Well, unfortunately, no, because I had the Flyer game going on the iPad, so it was kind of short-lived.
I know.
And here's the other problem. The problem this is why we did the show the way I did it yesterday, is when you leave your fate in other people's hands, you often get what you deserve, not what you want. That's been my problem with this entire drinking of the bathwater for this team, by Bally, certainly, but by the bots. You lost the control of your destiny because you proceeded to go in March. Here, hold on, power stats for you. Great job on the sheet, gentlemen. 3-9-2 in March, including getting your asses kicked by Arizona twice. You ended the last quarter of your season 8-15. That's not a playoff push. That's falling balls first into a wood chipper. So, no.
And even though you finished strong in the final four games, it didn't kind of take away from everything else.
Hey, you had a chance to beat Washington head up, did you? No. You had a chance to beat Pittsburgh head up, did you?
No.
So I refuse to allow this whitewashing of how this went down. This was a collapse. If you want a positive out of all of this, I'll give you the one positive. For me, I walk away having zero doubts about the value and the role and the maturity and the care factor of the captain, Dylan Larkin. Dylan Larkin was about to cry in that postgame. Dylan Larkin, absolutely heartbeat of this team. He is a leader, grown before your eyes, and that's exactly how I want one of the faces of my franchise to step to the microphone after having his guts ripped out, and to handle it. Now, if you want a positive, fine. You want to tell me, look, Lucas Raymond has set the stage for a full-blown breakout next year. See, I'll deal in those things. But, Rico, this is where you and I agree. The mission was to make the playoffs. You did not. You know what I'm not going to tolerate? You crying about Gary Bettman's rules.
I was about to say, yeah, the rules and well. Because here's if it was the other way around and the Wings made it and
time
the Capitals
out.
Didn't.
Oh, I know what it would be. Oh, the rules work in our favor? That's all this town is right now. Oh, hey, look, Texas Rangers had a ball bounce off their sack, clear the bases. Oh, we'll take that. How about you just go score the runs on your own in the first seven innings?
Yeah. When you had a chance to beat the Capitals, you didn't.
So I would like to have a different conversation. Raw emotion, day after the season's over. You can pull positives. You can, but here's the reality. Year five of the rebuild. The reality, because I live in a world where results matter. You were 26th in goals against. You were morbid. You don't have a defensive core beyond proven Mo Sider. We think Evanson's going to be very, very good. But you have nothing beyond it. And you have no goaltending whatsoever. And don't give me Koser or Augustine. They won't be here for 2 years. And please spare me banking on a goalie prospect. It is brutally difficult to find a goalie. So I'm making a point. Mission number one as we enter the offseason, as much fun as a splashy goal scorer would be, it's probably tightening up either the blue line. And it's not about, hey, if you think you're just going to call up kids, you're sadly mistaken. Or you got to find a goalie. Because, look, I'm bummed out in the sense that February 29th, we sat here and it was like, this team is going to the playoffs and they could be dangerous. And look at what the last week was. Shaking a cup on a corner for spare change, begging for help. A bunch of miracle heroics. Hey, by the way, nice start to the game last night. Montreal was more physical than you. Their forecheck terrorized you. And you got outplayed by a bad hockey team with kids on it, including a couple guys making their first NHL start. So we got what we deserved. This team laid the seeds for that heartbreak over the last 5 weeks.
Yeah. With a couple of guys making their first NHL start, you should have dominated. Period. I mean, when you think about that statement.
Well, it kills me too.
They're looking towards the future. Like, okay, if we lose, we lose. But guys, that's literally one of those, go out there and have fun. Well,
and Montreal tried to hand you the game with two of the flukiest, weirdest goals you'll ever see. There's bad angle shots and then no angle shots. And then there's whatever Primo's kid did in net where he's like, hey, I got a fart. And he looks to the right and the left and the puck goes. I'm going, wait, play didn't stop. What are you doing? And you still, like, it's one of these things where I don't want breaks. I don't want luck. I want quality. I want dominance. And as I said yesterday on the show, I view the Red Wings like the Yankees of hockey. I view you as one of the great American franchises in your sport. Truly. So I don't do that. Go earn it. Go take it by force. So as this season ends, it's hard to say it, but no, it is a failure. It's a failure because you never gained a standard. You had hot, ice cold, kind of hot. Like, there has to be a standard of effort every night that when you throw that jersey on, or as hockey people like to say, that sweater with that logo, or as hockey people sometimes say, that crest, there has to be a standard, and way too many nights in the last 5 weeks, Rico, they no-showed. Low energy, low effort, we'll play one good period. I'm bummed because it never should have ended this way. Mm-hmm. They should have made the playoffs, and they didn't, and it's a failure in my world. And I'm sorry, but like, come up a point short on the bar exam. You failed.
Right.
There is
you
no, well, my it. Score on the bar has gotten better each time I've taken it. You failed it. Hey, I'm taking the Series 7. You failed. Well, my score's better than let. You failed. Series 65, failure. It's pass or fail. Mm-hmm. You didn't almost land the parallel park. You failed. Mm-hmm. So I would like to know where people are at. Now, if you believe the season's a success, you want to go Team Bally, you want to say, well, Yzerman improved the point total again, you can do that. We have different definitions of success, and that's fine, but I'm never going to see your side of it, and you won't see mine, because now it sets up a year six for Yzerman where it's not good enough to just make the playoffs. I think you need to be one of the top three. You need to make an ascension. How many years is it going to be where the bare minimum isn't enough? Mm-hmm. Half the teams make the damn playoffs. Now, I don't need you to go win the President's Trophy, but yes, I need you to be flirting with a real playoff spot. And frankly, at a minimum, you got to take a series to the limit in the first round, if not win one. No. Otherwise, what are we doing?
No, and I can see what you were talking about with the goaltending, because back in December, I think it was, unless they scored 4 goals or more, they weren't winning games.
They didn't win a game. You nailed this. This was a show way back, and I think they were like 1-15-1 in games they didn't score more than 3 goals.
Yeah.
And I know it was, you're right, it was like holiday-ish. Mm-hmm. And that's the stuff that comes back to bite you.
So where are you sitting with the fact of, for those who said, hey, This is the 2022 Lions, where you went all the way. You needed help, but you didn't get help because, remember, the Rams did not beat the Seahawks that game.
Yeah.
You played the Packers. We're going to roll this into next year. Because I heard a lot of people, and I saw a lot of people saying.
No, I buy it. How about this? I can feel bad now, but feel good about next year in that I do think you've put a floor into this thing where we know they're not going to be bad. Might be good. I don't know that they'll be great. I'm not as convinced as other people. Like, I don't believe this is the Baltimore Orioles on ice. They don't have nearly the prospect cachet that some people want to make it out to be. Now, they have a couple more bullets to fire. Casper, Danielson, this Palika kid, that's fine. But when you begin banking on, well, I got three more guys to call up and all of them are going to hit. Just not, doesn't work that way. So this is going to be a big summer for Yzerman. Raymond's got to get paid. Sider's got to get paid. What do you do with Gostisbehere? What do you do on acquisition? What do we do with Kane? You can't go out handing a 3-4 year deal to him. The rest of the league saw that the hip is good. The rest of the league saw how good he was in his 50 games. And there are a lot of stupid people that run teams. If another team comes in and goes crazy with Kane, what do you do? There's a lot to discuss here.
But you're okay with that. Because like I said, a lot of people were like, and David, I saw you were saying no.
Yeah, David, please jump in. Yeah, Kenny, jump in.
Yeah, let me respond to that because I'm definitely saying no to that. Because the
no to what? We said a lot.
No to his question, Rico's question about them being the Detroit Lions of 2022. The end of that 2022 season for the Detroit Lions, they were hot. They were the hottest team in the NFL. The Red Wings were in this spot because they weren't hot. They limped into this spot. They had a bad month. If you want to say 6 weeks, they had a bad 6 weeks. That's why I can't say the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions propelled themselves into that position. The Wings kind of went the wrong way.
But what about the comeback wins in the last couple games? No.
See, that stuff annoys me more than anything because I always go to the root cause of why did you need these comebacks? Like, how about play well? I mean, I'm sorry. And I understand people. Yes, I am jaded. I am an East Coaster. I understand. I don't have the apple pie sensibilities of Midwesterners. I can only be me. I want what you all want. I shouldn't have to explain this. I don't hate your teams. Your teams losing aren't good for my business. I want the parade just like you do. I want to go down to the playoff games. I want to enjoy myself. I want to go out with the crew here. But, like, I don't tolerate failure very well. That's never changed. It's just how I am as a fan. It's year five. There has to be standards. Well, we were on the doorstep. Pass or fail. There's no half pregnant. No half wet. Oh, well, Tortorella screwed us. No, he didn't. They needed to win in regulation, and he doesn't owe you anything.
Right.
When you leave your fate in other people's hands, you're not going to like the outcome.
I was wondering why they pulled the goalie so quickly, well, early in the game, but Kenny explained that to me, that, you know, they had to win that game. I thought it was a little early.
It had to be regulation.
Right, but I thought maybe you wait until about 2 minutes to go, and then you just go full on and try to get that final goal to win the game, because it was 1-1. If it was 1-0, I would understand pulling the goalie earlier.
But here's the one thing, right? All these people want to bag on the Caps, and the Caps deserve it to a point. They're one of the metrically worst teams to make the playoffs since 1991, where, shout out Brass Bonanza, America's Whalers made it. Shout out Pat Verbeek. The point is, they made the playoffs primarily because of Lindgren. Because of their goalie. Wasn't Lindgren first or second in the league in shutouts? Wasn't Lindgren sporting like a 2.77 goals against? Like, yes, they had a terrible differential. The point is, he, including against you, stood on his head. In many ways, the Capitals, they don't have a lot of the things you have, but they have the one thing you don't have. They got a goalie.
That's a good point.
So it just, we're here. And this is why we flipped out during the 7-game losing streak, or when they were doing this dance and Kenny goes, I can't take anymore. It's not negativity. It's realism. It's understanding you're not handling your own business. And if I have to hear, I'm going to light a TV on fire. We'll take that as the ultimate loser mentality.
David, you should just put that on this board.
No, you know what we should do? We should sell T-shirts. When people drive to town for the draft, rip down that Detroit sign and just put up, we'll take that. Established 1826 or whatever Detroit was. Like, it's an attitude that's so pervasive in this town. Hey, we're not good enough for us to earn it. Let's just pray it happens. And in year five of the Iser plan, no, I expect better. So I'd love to hear from the hockey elite. Kenny, put out the Matterhorn.
Yeah.
Literally, Kenny, Matterhorn. No, not a sound effect. Kenny, into the microphone. Give the hockey elite the mating call, and let's get this show rolling on a Wednesday.
I'm not going to moan into a microphone for you, Mike.
It's yes,
not going to happen.
Kenny.
It simply will not happen.
Your people need you. Hockey elite, assemble. Kenny, hit
hockey
it.
Hockey elite, assemble.
248-539-9797. We get to your phone calls next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
That's Dylan Larkin after the game. And again, I mean, if you want a positive, you want leadership. You want one of those born leaders in your room. And from the time he was a rookie to now, the growth, who he is, what he represents to this team, hell, what they look like when he's not there. And I like the fact he went to the microphone. I like the fact he almost broke down. I like the fact that this matters. Because I think far too often in sports right now, guys, and again, I know I'm cynical, I feel like we, the fans, care a lot more than some of these guys. Not Red Wings specific. I'm saying sports in general. I think there are a lot of Anthony Rendones out there. And I don't think you have to worry about that with your captain. And that, look, again, if you're searching for a positive. But no, I don't view the season as a success. And I think all these made-up stats by the bought and paid-for media, it's dangerous. You don't need to repackage failure and go, well, we had Stevie got us more points again this year. Did we make the playoffs? No, we did not. Did he build a product that wasn't morbid defensively? No, he did not. What was the difference in why you're not in? Probably the fact that on a night-in, night-out basis, you're giving up 4 or 5 goals. That might be a bit of an issue.
Including last night?
Correct. Correct. Where, like, you needed multiple miracles to get yourself into that overtime. And it's like, I'm tired of that. Because miracles aren't quality. They're random acts of luck. I don't want that. I want quality. Because I know what the Red Wings are supposed to look like for my 25 years in this state. Mm-hmm. So, Kenny, where are you at? And then we're going to the people. Because you have not spoken except for Hockey Elite Assemble.
So I'm emotionally exhausted, obviously, after last night. But what I'm looking at when I see this team, yes, the defensive thing, that's their biggest on-the-ice issue. But right now I'm looking at Derek Lalonde. I don't think he should be here. I think he should have been fired during the losing streak. Personally, that's me. But I think the biggest thing the Wings need to accomplish this offseason, besides bringing in a good free agent, I think they need to find a new head coach. And I hear the Jared Gallant stuff all the time. I think there's a problem there. There's a reason nobody's hired Gallant.
He's starting to feel like Steve Mariucci.
A little bit.
People say the name because they know it, but he doesn't get hired, and you're like, is that really who you want?
It's the hot name that everybody knows, and he was in the news when he got let go, and everybody talked about him, so it's just on the brain. But no, I think they need a legitimate head coach. They need defensive help. I think that will improve your goaltending situation, but yeah, you need to figure out your
goal. I think minimum there's got to be a bridge goalie.
Yes, absolutely.
But that's not going to be a battery of Lyon and Reimer.
No.
It's not.
No, it's not. And Lyon, when he was hot, he did just fine. But when he was off, man, he was 5 goals a night. Lying. You're talking like it was unwatchable.
A goalie you can basically play for like the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, and then there lies the problem, Rico. Goaltending's the most expensive thing to go and acquire.
And that is the crux of the issue, I think.
And that's
whether you're trading for it or whether you're signing it. It's always going to cost you a lot.
And again, there is absolute, like, I just view it, and I know I'm the mean New Yorker. I think if you're banking your hopes that you've got Patrick Roy in your system with Koser or Augustine, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
And talk about linear development. Goaltenders are the least linear development of any
Correct.
Position. You can see when a positional player, a center, a defenseman, you can see them slowly start to go up. But with a goalie, hot, cold, you don't really know what you have until they lace them up in the NHL.
I'm with you. So look, what do you classify the season as? And then what is the key to success? Like, what's the key move this summer in your mind? I'll give you both ways to play it. But the one thing I'm not going to subscribe to or endorse or tolerate is what David played. That is so low rung. That is so dishonest. The whole, if I told you at the start of the year, .. Stop. Stop. Because you were 9 points clear at a cut line on February 29th and proceeded to go 3-9-2 in the next month of hockey. And then proceeded to lose a bunch of big games before you stole a bunch of big games. I'm not accepting that. That's like the Lions starting out 11-3 and losing their last three games of the season to miss out on the one seed. Well, what if I told you? I don't care what you told me. Oh, you were the one seed at the start of December. Would you have taken it? Well, yeah, but how does the rest of the movie play out? I'm not taking that. What are you, selling season tickets or are you giving me honest commentary? Which is it? I can't stand that line of thought.
No. No, you're right. It was a collapse. It wasn't maybe as the infighting like the Philadelphia Eagles were,
no.
But it was a collapse where you were here, you thought that you were safe, and then you weren't.
And the problem is when they lock in, they are good enough. When they're playing their best, they are playoff caliber.
It was almost like they needed the desperation in every game.
Then you know what I would tell you?
It's like watching the Tigers now when you just got to wait till the eighth inning.
Then you don't have the right coach.
And then all of a sudden, everything starts to click.
No, then you don't have the right coach. Because really, all being a coach is in today's world, yes, you can have a measure of acumen and tactician, but like reality, it's managing egos. It's connecting with your players. It's getting guys to go out and give you the best they got. And understanding the pulse of your team and when to light a fire, when to be nurturing. Like, that's what coaching is. Let's face it. The days of, like, Hank Stram on a whiteboard, we're going to run a seal here and a seal here, and we're going to run it up the alley. Now, that's movie stuff. Yeah, great. You want a coach who has a high acumen, has a staff that can get creative. You want to have schematically some level of advantage. But you know what I'm saying. It's like, if we have to question whether this team can put 3 good periods of hockey together, I don't think you got the right guy leading them.
Yeah. Well, and the 2 games that you had to have, even though you needed help, you started off slow in both games. Like, what is the deal here? Like, Montreal, they didn't need this. They were just like, okay, we're just finishing out the year. Matter of fact, they put in, here's your first game ever being in the NHL. Here you go, son. You needed these games. And you couldn't tell because you would have thought if no one knew the points, you would have thought Montreal was the team that was trying to get that last spot.
That's just it, too. It's not just the losing streak, which is also unacceptable. You can't no-show games against Arizona. It's just not okay. But the games that actually matter, the Washington game, it looked like you lost. You can't lose to Washington and then tell me, oh, well, they made the playoffs, not you. That's not fair. No, that's fair.
No, and you lost primarily because Lindgren.
Yes.
Was the difference maker, and he shut you out for all intents and purposes.
Yeah,
so,
goalied.
But my point is, that's what leads me to the offseason. Your blue line and goaltending situation, look, I think it'll be easier to get a higher floor on the blue line, but this goaltending thing is not going to be an easy fix. And Kenny's right. The better play you have in front of your goalie, the better the goalie will be, but let's be real about this. There's no scenario where Lyon or Reimer or any of these guys are going to go out and start 60, 65 games. It's just they're not capable. Yeah. We'll get the people involved. I wanted to set the table. Okay. I know there's a lot to unpack. Give me what your phraseology on the season would be. Let me see that. That's really neat.
No.
Have I seen that?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Straight to the people. Reacting to the Wings. How do you classify the season? And then what is that move that's got to be done this summer? We've tried to set the table for you. Let's rock and roll. We'll go to Kevin to kick things off today. Kev, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm with you. I think this season was a failure. I hate last-ditch efforts. I think they're obnoxious. It just tells you that they could have tried harder. And I think at some point in the season, we know the window that had to be communicated to these guys just how important every game was. And it wasn't. And I think that ties to the coach, and it ties to the lack of communication between the players and the coach, that they didn't understand that they had to play as hard as they played the last two games for the entire period of time where they were, you know, failing. So I think you got to get that coach out of there and get somebody in there that can motivate the players.
All right, so your team, Kenny.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the simplest fix. I'm kind of expecting that press conference to happen at any moment.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's
Kenny just looked at you with a flash of anger. That was exciting.
No, not anger. I don't know why you're this confident.
I mean, Kenny, just the statements and things that he was saying near the end just sound like a man who just either he knows my job is safe or I'm just out here in retirement mode already.
That first part's the scariest. Maybe he's just saying this, all these things, because no consequences.
Or it could be like at Saban, like after he lost the Rose Bowl, was just like, wait, are you Nick Saban? Like the things he was saying was like, huh, that's not what I was expecting to hear. The whole, well, you know, guys, we played great, and who would have thunk it?
I have a real tough time believing Steve Yzerman's happy with how this ended.
I can't think that he is. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to do this, the season is now over, because I said,
no.
You know what? That the coach treat this like the playoffs. If you don't make it, you're fired. Because remember, you were like, because you wanted him fired during the season. I'm like, let's see if he could figure this out. If he can't, then there's really no reason to bring him back. He had every opportunity. He had every big game after big game. You had an opportunity to walk in there and get this team ready. And how many times did it look like the team, even games that they won, like last night, they didn't look prepared. They didn't look ready.
Well, how about this? Ben agrees with you, and we'll bring him next on the ticket. Ben, go ahead.
I totally agree with you, Rico. But, you know, like, he had all season to get this team straightened out where you could start seeing some consistency, and you never did. And, you know, like, you take a look at we've had a similar example in this state, you know, with Dan Campbell. And you look at how that team in 2022, you know, to go back to what you said earlier, Rico, that team galvanized around him and bought into the program. And you saw that the first half of the season was wobbly. And the second half of the season was real solid, and that's what kind of got to the point where we had to rely on Seattle to, you know, make it into the playoffs, and it didn't happen. That's not at all how this season has gone for Derek Lalonde. And I don't think – I mean, you even listen to Larkin, that soundbite you guys played. I'm gutted for the guys. You don't hear any mention of, like, you know, we really – or David Perron said, you know, I really wanted this for Larks. It's a – you know, I didn't really want this. He didn't say anything about wanting it for Lalonde being a, you know, new head coach, or, you know, we really loved the way Lalonde was in the locker room. I think he's an X's and O's guy. And I think that this team is not ready for that type of coach quite yet. They need that rah-rah guy, much like Dan Campbell was or is. And because they're young in some aspects, you know, they're veterans in other aspects. But they need a different type of coach. You know, X's and O's only get you so far. You need to have that guy that can fire up a team like this instead of relying on, you know, it almost seemed like Dylan Larkin was a player coach. You know, every time he left, this team was just nothing. And then every time he came back, it was like, we're playing for Larks. And I just, you know, I don't see in any way, shape, or form how Derek Lalonde moves forward with this team in a successful manner. I just, it just doesn't line up for me. It doesn't add up for me. And I hope, you know, Craig Berube is out there. You know, I know there's a report that came out that Eisenman had connection with him. I hope, you know, he would be a great person, I think, to kind of take this team and take it to the next level. I think we're really close. Obviously, we showed it in several
steps
here.
So what's the biggest move this summer in your mind? Seeing what you saw.
Coach.
So you think it is the coach, not a goalie,
absolutely,
not fortifying the blue line, it's the loan.
I don't care if you put Leon Draisaitl on this team. It doesn't matter if the rest of the team, you know, where we really struggled wasn't our top line. Where we struggled defensively, not just our blue line, but, you know, our other forward lines struggled. And it was, to me, just, it seemed like just such a helter-skelter season where, you know, it seemed like Edvinson should be up and Bergeron should be up, yet we're running off, you know.
Well, the problem I had is, you know, they hyped how, well, you know, this team has X, Y, and Z, and there are quality players that can't make this team, like Bergeron being one of them. Or I know Evason started the year hurt, and then when they were going to call him up, he was hurt again. The point is, you can't have it both ways. If they had the solutions on the farm, they needed to figure that part out. They didn't. And here's the other problem. You're going to run into an issue now where, God help us, I know you can't critique the Messiah, but the Andrew Kopp deal is a problem. Okay? The whole deal is a problem. You have some guys that are simply taking up spots that, you know, it's going to be the siren's call, Rico. People are either going to want someone else's prize or they're going to want to see the unknown and open up Pandora's box and call up a kid. So that's where I understand. Look, you want to fire Derek Lalonde, do it. I said to you guys when we played that audio last week, I go, you fire this guy into the sun.
Well, see,
I'm saying it's too easy to just go fire Lalonde and cue Lego movie, everything's awesome.
No,
but they have personnel problems.
The reason why I'm saying Lalonde may not be the guy is because a lot of times with the coach, you hear the coach and the players or the coach and the captain. Man, it's like they're symbiotic. They're right there. They're saying the same thing, but you don't get that. He's saying this. Larkin's saying this, and you're like, well, why is he more fired up than him? It's like, you know, when the coach is giving you the message.
I think the reality.
You then echo that message.
The reality is, loaned, if you want him gone, it's fine. I don't think there's any scenario where the callers can call up and go, no, run it back, get rid of Lalonde, and we're all good. I don't think you're in that spot. And I've never been totally comfortable. Oh, well, they had 11 more points than last season. This was also the softest bubble in maybe a decade. Like, you're not good enough. There's personnel issues. You finished 26th in goals against.
Yeah, I just maybe this is the unknown because I don't know what's said before they come out to skate, but you don't see the fire up team. And the message that he's saying versus the message that the players are saying.
Different.
It's totally different, which tells me. That's the problem.
Like, I hate that message coming from the coach, the happy to be here message.
Yes.
I hate that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's why I'm saying, yeah, I do think that if it's one of those you anonymously talk to the players, they would probably say, yeah.
David, ticket text, and then we'll continue with the people. What do you got for me?
Red Wings had a 40-goal better differential than Washington. That proves the Wings were better than them. That is on Lalonde.
No, it doesn't prove that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't prove that because you know what the Caps had that you didn't? The ability to give up like 6 total goals the last 9 games or whatever it was. The fact that Lindgren was able to come in here and hashtag goalied you. Like, I'm tired of you talking about other people. Worry about your own house. You know what people in Washington are going to say? Your ass. They're going to look at you and go, you didn't play a continuous stretch of good hockey since February 29th. Your ass. You don't have a goalie, your blue line blows, and your coach is a nobody. So don't do that. Oh, goal differential. I understand. Washington has one of the worst goal differentials since the early 90s to make the playoffs, which is even more embarrassing you didn't get it done.
People who don't understand that it matters how you fail to make the postseason matters are complete morons. Total collapse this team had. Heads should roll.
I'm with you. I did not send that ticket text, but it's almost like that person is my spirit animal.
Someone disagrees with you on Larkin. And are you kidding me? Larkin is 8 years in as captain and delivered nothing so far. Yes, he skates hard, but never makes a play when needed.
Okay. Well, when he doesn't play, what's this team look like? I also like the leadership he showed, and you can tell his teammates adore him. I think that stuff matters if you're going to wear the C. All right, no disrespect to anyone else, but this isn't the Phoenix Coyotes. Wearing the C of this franchise matters.
Salt Lake City.
Oh, the Salt Lake City Stars, mm-hmm. or Jazz, or Bald Eagles, or the Salt Lake Mormons, or whatever. The point I'm making is it matters. Character matters. If you're going to wear that C, it has to matter, and he has it. Now, if you don't want to at least do me that kindness, then fine. I understand he's not Wayne Gretzky, but he's a pretty damn good player. We'll get more of your calls coming up momentarily. 97.1. 5 o'clock. Let's get to business. Wings win but lose. How do you describe the season? And what is that move that's got to happen this summer? Look, you know where Rico and I are at. We don't do the whole happy to be here thing, and we sure as hell don't sound like this. Please do not call this show and say at the start of the season, if I told you, I ain't trying to hear it.
Because
if I told you at the start of the year, you'd have a 9-point cushion to the cut line on February 29th. I'd like to think you wouldn't need the last two games with help to get in. And by the way, in each of the last two games, 4-1 and 3-1 to a Canadiens team that is not good. So I don't want to hear it. Now, the move this summer, look, I'm not arguing Rico or Kenny. You want to get rid of Lalonde, get rid of him. Hell, I don't like the way the man talks in the postgame.
See, I think both things can be true.
Yeah,
I think
they are.
You go get your goalie, but...
No, it's something defensive. Look, I don't claim to be smart enough to tell you that there's this one player that's this elixir to fixing it. But when you're 26th in goals against, leaky defense... For players not named Mo Sider, you want to sell me Evanson being the next coming, that's fine. But now it's, all right, what do we do with Gazdusbear? What do we do on the blue line? Yeah. Goaltending's an issue. Like, you can't just run this back. You don't sell me Kosa or Augustine. They're years away. Yeah. So I admit this. I blurted out, maybe you need to get a goalie. I'm not telling you it's going to be cheap.
Yeah, but it's just the message that I hear from the coaches. That's the problem with me. I think it was one of the things that the city in Detroit embraced Dan Campbell was because he just said how he felt and he said how things were. And if it's great or if things were bad, I mean, even after they lost to San Francisco, he's like, I told the guys, hey, we may not get back here, but it was a different way that he said it that you actually believe this man has control of his locker room. This team believes in him and they listen to him. I just don't get that. Now, I think you make that move first, and then the next move is, yeah, you go out and you shore up your goaltending until you can hope that one of the young guys is ready, so you need somebody for the next 2-3 years.
Kenny, you want to broker a deal. Call up Lou Lamoriello, see what Varlamov costs.
Capable starter in the league, yeah.
Islanders are tied to Sorokin long-term, even though Varlamov plays a decent amount. You want Varlamov?
I'll take Varlamov.
Islanders have the number 38 ranked system. We're below some juniors teams. We don't have any prospects left.
So they're third in the, I think, the Metro, right? So
Malo Varley?
What are they going to want? Because
prospects.
Okay. So who are you comfortable giving away for that?
Ah, that's your problem, not mine. I'm selling you this pen.
You can sell me this pen, and I don't hate it. But Steve, I think he's doing the whole build for the future sustainability nonsense. So I think. It's not nonsense. It's smart. But if you want to make a trade, it's nonsense. I didn't say that. This is my least favorite bit. He's not going to want to give away prospects, my point.
Okay, but here's my point to people, and we'll get to the callers. You have to give to get.
Yes.
We all view him as a shrewd negotiator and expert trader. You're going to have to give to get. And all I know, look. Maybe goalie is not on his top 50 things to go and get. I'm offering you something in real time where I go, here's a name. Because the Islanders are pot committed to Sorokin long term.
Yeah, and it is a capable NHL starting goaltender.
Now, if it's Varlamov and Lyon as the duo, do you feel better?
I feel a lot better.
Okay.
that you could essentially just ride the hot goalie for as long as you like.
I just feel like that has to be the move. Because I don't know what blue line acquisition you can make that is going to make you tangibly better. And remember, you still have one guy heading to free agency. You got another guy you probably want to buy out and haul. And you need room to bring up full time. Okay, Evanson's here. But then you got a couple of defensive prospects you're going to want to moonlight up here. See, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. The goaltending is not. I could ball up all three of the Wings goalies and launch them into space. It wouldn't matter.
Right, but like Kenny said, who are you willing?
Even though Reimer played great last
night. Reimer is on the way out, by the way. He's a UFA this offseason, so I don't think we're going to be seeing any more of him. Yeah, he'll be ducking pucks for a different team.
That was...
Wow.
Okay.
One of the low lights of the season, but it's burned into my brain.
I forgot all about that.
That was when they were in Sweden, and we were all sitting watching that
game.
I
was like, Kenny, why did he just duck?
I've never seen that before. Like,
what's the name of that hockey move?
I've never seen what Primo did last night.
Yeah,
play is still going on. He's looking left like he's got to, you know, rip a fart.
He must have thought the whistle went or something.
The puck goes
flying
by. What the hell just happened? I couldn't believe it. It was like a basketball game where the whistle's clearly blown, but somebody just throws up a 40-foot three-pointer, and you're like, well, that doesn't count. Nope, this counts. What the hell? Let's go to the people. Fred is going to lead off the 5 o'clock. Freddie, what's going on, buddy?
Mikey, how are you today?
Good, Fred. What's on your mind?
So I called in with something. I had a direction I wanted to go, but I've been sitting here and thinking, and the last 8 months of hockey, my kid has been getting more and more into hockey. He's 7, right? And so this kid, he's learning all about the sport, and I'm showing him the Red Wings because this is what I've grown up with, and I love hockey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we watch, I don't know, 75% of the games this season. We've gone to a few, and he's been real into it, watching every game with me over the past 2 months.
All right.
And he's been getting kind of bummed out as we've been losing, right, especially in that month of March. And last night, he's watching the game with me, and at the end of it, and he goes, so they're not in? And I said, they're not in, bud. It's Washington's in. And he goes, because Philadelphia didn't win? I said, yep, it's a bad rule, but it is what it is. So he looks at me and says, Dad, so can we still watch playoff hockey? And I said, yeah, we can still watch playoff hockey. And he goes, well, who do we root for?
I have that answer. America's team, Long Island's team, the New York Islanders. Come on aboard. Plenty of room on the bandwagon, Freddie.
So hang on, you're gonna hate this answer though. So I said, well, there's gonna be 16 teams that are gonna be there, and we can look at the list. And he goes, well, who has the most points?
Uh oh, the Rangers.
And it's the Rangers, right? So
hey, they got the bread man. That's exciting.
He's committed to the Rangers for the rest of the season to watch them win, to try to see them win the Stanley Cup because.
That's poor parenting, man. That's poor parenting.
That's a smart kid, David.
You know what? I've picked at least there was teams that I would have told him no, but either way, it's after this whole season and watching this whole thing, and our defense has been so porous that it's we need to beef up the blue line. We need to get rid of Petrie. He's got to go away. He's an ancient relic at this point. Like we need some younger, faster defensemen. That's the biggest thing we need here.
And Fred, I can't argue. Where do you fall on the Lalonde thing, Rico, Kenny? And I'm not fighting it. I'm saying these two are spearheading it. You want Lalonde gone or no?
I wasn't really too fond of him in that March stretch. There's no reason we should have gone 7 games straight of the losses. I don't know who else you're going to get. Like, I think someone had mentioned earlier, Craig Berube, which would be fine. Gallant's okay. I think you probably got a better shot with Berube, but I mean, there's no, like, all-star, at least in my mind, there's no all-star coach option out there right now that would be much of an improvement from Malone.
Yeah, and Fred, that's the thing. And I congratulate your son on his choice of the Rangers as his B team. I hold no animosity towards you or his family. It's disappointing. I just want to say, Fred, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed.
I appreciate your time, guys.
All right. So as the New York thing goes, if you're an Islanders, you're also a Yankee, Rangers, you're Mets.
No, actually, Islander fans tend to be more in the loser lot. It would be Mets, Jets, Islanders, it would be Knicks, Rangers, Giants.
Gotcha.
I'm just different.
Gotcha. Okay.
What a dreadful playoff series that's going to be to watch.
What is that?
Islanders in Carolina. That's who you got.
No. It's just like last year's playoff series against them. It's going to be watching paint dry.
I'm going to bang my head against the wall.
It's going to be awful. I know. Kenny, I understand. Look, the Islander, you know what it is? I said this to a buddy of mine who's a huge hockey fan. And I said, the Islanders are the cautionary tale of building to be good for a long time because often that leads to nothing. Oh, you'll make the playoffs every year.
Yes. Nothing for a long time.
Yeah, it's just nothingness. The Islanders aren't good enough to win the Stanley Cup. They made a couple of pushes. They were within a period of getting to the Stanley Cup final with probably no chance of winning it. But the idea is you end up in this space, good enough to make playoffs, not good enough to threaten, not bad enough to get good players, and we shipped all prospects out to stay good. So,
NHL purgatory.
And my point to the Iserbots is be careful about this whole, you know, the Scott Harris model or this Steve model. I'm not worried about being good for 10 years. I'm worried about being good one time to win the Stanley Cup. And whatever happens around that, I deal with.
And the window starts now because you're going to re-sign Seider. You're going to bring back Raymond. They're both going to get contracts.
I think you could see Raymond asking for $9 or $10 million a year.
I think that's a little bit much for a winger, but I understand.
No. I'm saying he'll ask for it.
Yeah.
Steve will negotiate how he negotiates. But, Kenny, Raymond at his age and profile and what he did historically with the team as a winger, what is it, the first time since Brendan Shanahan where a winger has led this team in scoring? Like,
he's only 22, Kenny, and he's going to get better.
He's going to ask for the bag.
Yeah. I think he gets around 8, but yeah. I
okay, and what's your godson get?
Positional value is a little bit more, so probably 9.
All in, you're paying a better part of $18 million over
2%.
100%.
Okay.
100%. And how do we get rid of some of these dead bodies that Iserman signed?
A lot of them are falling off. A lot of them are already leaving. Besides Kopp, I mean, if you want to bring back Gostisbehere, you can. If you want to bring back Kane, you can. But
Braun
is going.
I don't know that you have a choice with Kane. And that's what scares me.
What's he going to ask for, though? That's my problem, is because he's a point-per-game player. He's proven he can play on the hip.
And
he's old.
So everybody saw it. So now
you
got to
get into a bidding war. Yeah, bidding war.
Now, if he likes it here and wants to play with the cat and the whole bit, that's wonderful. I just worry if you get into a bidding war and some goofball offers him a 3-year deal. I'm not giving him 3 years. He's Rico's age.
Also, Sprong is gone.
You just hate to see it. All right, David, a couple of ticket texts. We'll get to more of the calls. Wing season, one of the more emotionally draining ones you're ever going to have. How do you categorize it, and what's the move? And no, I'm not being shoot the puck guy. I don't have a great solution, but you can't bring this goalie battery back. Clearly, the blue line is an issue. It all works together. We know this. But, yeah, you probably need a goalie because that great hope in the future is multiple years away, which is one or both of Kosa and Augustine. All right, well, I can't keep waiting. You need a bridge. So you want to fire Lalonde? You ain't going to see me argue. I think you have to fire Lalonde and plus. Well, I think one of those is I would offer goalie because the blue line is crowded. See, if you want to make a high-end acquisition on the blue line, Kenny, I would bring you in for this. If you want to make a high-end acquisition on the blue line, after you're going to have to pay Mo Seider the better part of $9 million a year, Kenny, who's the odd man out in that equation?
Yeah, on the Red Wings, you're saying who's the odd man
out? Yeah, because you need to give a ton of burn to Evanson.
Yes.
If you bring Gostisbehere back, okay. But so you start to look at this and go, well, wait a second. If I go and make an acquisition, who am I hurting? Who am I blocking?
I mean, you're blocking a guy like Albert Johansson, who's supposed to be coming up relatively soon. I'm tired of seeing Jeff Petrie, so I healthy scratch him. I sit him. I do whatever I have to do.
Kenny, son, launch him.
No.
Into it.
Yes.
Gone.
Yeah, he's been the bane of your existence all
Jeff
season
Petrie,
long.
Jeff Petrie, and he scores one goal, and everybody's like, see, he's not that bad.
You know what it is? Okay, now that the season is over, David, you're not on social media, Mike. I mean, Mike, you're not David, you are. My guilty pleasure was whenever Petrie did anything, and I would just sit and wait for Kenny's reaction. Kenny would just lose it.
I'm just sitting there.
Every time, like clockwork, it's like, wait, Petrie, what did Kenny have to say?
I'm just sitting there steaming every time he does something. This is how you can.
It was a guilty pleasure of mine.
Another giveaway in the defensive zone. Clear the puck out harder.
Why almost can't just we just get rid of this man? Launch this man into the sun. Like, wow, Kenny brings the fire and the passion.
It's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
Dude, it was
Rico
guilty.
Spite watching you.
Well, it was a guilty pleasure.
All yeah. right, David, a couple more ticket texts and we'll get to the people.
From Kyle, Alex DeBrincat was the biggest disappointment. 10 goals in the first 15 games, 17 goals in the remaining 67.
Yeah,
he has
a failure.
To be better.
It was a fail. Mm-hmm. And they even brought in, you know, the hand-selected, hey, this was my buddy guy. Well, Kane was a point a game in 50 games.
Right.
DeBrincat wasn't.
Right.
Does that mean you don't want him here? No. It means he needs to have a better year next year.
Yep.
Period.
A couple texts for you, Kenny. Yeah, right. I'm going to read both of them. You can respond. Someone saying, go get Stamkos or Reinhardt. And then another one comes in saying, why is Kosa years away? Played well at Grand Rapids this season. Why can't we bring him up next year to split time with a vet?
They're probably going to want to see another year out of Kosa just to make sure, or at least a decent chunk of a year, and then maybe bring him up halfway through the season or something like that. That's best case scenario pie in the sky.
That's how I view it.
For me, Stamkos, man, he's on the wrong side of 30. He's 34. We were complaining all year long about having the oldest roster in the league. He did score 40 goals, so not productive. The question is, what would he ask for, which I think might be a little bit higher than you're willing to pay
and
a 34-year-old.
Isn't Reinhardt going to cost you $100 million?
Reinhardt might not be available because Florida might bring him back, but if they don't, there's also 31 teams in the league that want him, so you're going to pay
a premium.
I'm saying,
like, isn't that that's like a 10-year deal?
Yeah, that's going to be a long-term deal. It's going to be
that's everything Yzerman refuses to do.
It's going to be like 9 years, like 10 or 11 million. It's going to be crazy.
Right, this is going to be the Alexei Yashin deal. He's still going to be getting paid in 2006. Right. Alexei Yashin is the Bobby Bonilla of hockey. Like, you're going to be paying Yashin well past the time that both Rico and I are dead.
He just collected a check yesterday.
Like, I'm just saying. Like, okay, yeah, everybody wants a 50-goal scorer on a good team. So do I. I don't know how you make that work.
Plus, he could take a discount to stay in Florida. I mean, with the tax situation and the nice weather and a team that's doing really, really, really well constantly in the Stanley Cup picture, it's tough to see us being able to pry him from them. Also, you'd have to pay a gigantic premium.
Correct. All right, good talk. We go to Mike, 97.1. Mike, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Mike, what's on your mind?
So I think this season can be considered a success if Yzerman takes the right course of action this offseason. Like, he needs, like, the Wings do, like, a dump-and-chase system, and David Perron is just way too old. And you guys brought it up earlier, they're, like, 25th, 26th in goals allowed. So, like, you know, Jeff Petrie, like, and some of these other guys, they need to get rid of them this summer, and they need to let the kids play. Like, it's just, like, because I think if you brought up Simon Edmondson, like, mid-season, or, you know, you brought up Marco Kasper, he's been playing really well as of late. If you brought them up later in the season, I think they'll do well. And I think it's become crystal clear what the issue is. When Larkin went out, this team had, like, the worst winning percentage, basically, in the league. So you need to find a number two center who can actually play. And if you think Nate Danielson is that guy, or you think Mark Kasper is that guy, you can't, like, depend on veteran experience.
Okay, but here's the issue. Mike, I have no problem wanting to see your younger players, but you do realize that that means you're probably going to get worse. It is next to impossible for a young player to come up and just dominate from day one. I mean, look, Lucas Raymond, what he's doing at age 22 is awesome, and he's finally getting in where we start to feel like, hey, maybe next year we have a star. I'm saying, Mike, are you comfortable knowing it may hurt you?
Oh, absolutely, because I don't want to see, like, the third oldest team in the league next season. If you acquire all these draft picks, like, the worst part is that I think, you know, David Perron takes a really stupid penalty against the Rangers with 10 minutes left in a tie game, and they score on that. You know, that was just, like, 2 weeks ago. Like, I'd rather see young guys make mistakes than be like, oh, we got to bring up the veterans because veterans don't make mistakes. And then you have David Perron doing mistakes.
Yeah, but like, you're okay next year, maybe a step back.
I'm fine with that because, like, the Wings have been drafting system over talent, in my opinion. Like, they keep drafting tall defensemen, and they keep drafting forwards who are super fast because they play that dump and chase system. And David Perron is so slow. Like, when Larkin's out, they don't have that star that can go into the corners, get it, and play it. They don't have that personnel, and that's why they struggle when Larkin went out. And, you know, they need to get
and Mike, this is the thing. I think what everyone, once the season ends, I think that's where the real conversation begins. Because during the year, everyone started to get seduced when things were going well. The Iser plan is right on schedule. This is great. It's all work. You start to realize, you know what? We're actually not that good. Actually, we got a lot of dead bodies on this roster. Yeah. Actually, we might have a coaching problem. Actually, we don't have a goaltender.
We don't have the depth. When even though you had everybody scoring 10 or more goals.
Right.
Like Carlos said, when Larkin went out, man, things went south.
So the point is, I don't think it's on schedule. And I'm sorry, and I know some of you hate when I say this. I just, making the playoffs is a bare minimum in the fifth year of a build. That's not an accomplishment. That's like, hey, Kenny didn't bleep himself all over the office. That's not an accomplishment. That's just being an adult. Get to the bathroom. No, I'm saying in year five, it's just, I can't. The way people talked about a playoff push, you'd think we had earned a berth to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right, but I think now it's going to be year six.
No, I will not treat it that way next year, and I know Kenny will back me on this. Do not sell me that them being in some playoff chase for a wild card is success. It is not. It's not. Hmm. They have to be an established playoff team next year with a fun little letter next to their name with about 9 games to go in the season.
So year six, everything is the same. They make the final spot or they miss out.
I think it's a failure.
Have we now hit Kenny's spot where he's trying to fire Eiserman?
Well, you said it.
Unbelievable.
No, Kenny, seriously, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. But in order to accomplish what you're saying about just backing into another playoff spot, he would have to, or what Rico is saying, you would have to have like a Scott Harris offseason where you really don't add what you need.
Oh, my
gosh. Uh-oh.
And that would be terrifying.
Scott has it all under control.
Oh, it's just great. I love scoring one run a game. Rico?
You sure? Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Straight to the people. We got one of the hockey elite flying in. The Prince of Lake Orion, a man we affectionately know as Garrett, is joining the program. Garrett, it's good to hear your voice. Are you okay after last night?
I definitely am okay. What I'm not okay with, and where I'm vomiting in my own mouth, is all the people calling in to the station. And not only just that, but all the, even Kenny and Rico, I'm all ready to go drown away my sorrows with a half a gallon of freaking Admiral Nelson's. That's going to be fun.
So where
Kenny's ready to pick you up.
Where are we at? Give me your season recap, and then what is the move that needs to be made?
So I guess for me, man, like my season recap is as follows. There you go. Thanks. My season recap is as follows, man. So I think I didn't expect this team making the playoffs to begin the year. I didn't think that they had enough pieces, especially on the back end and up front, or not up front, but in goal to do it. And I had a lot of questions about it. Honestly, those are the two things that ground this team moving forward. But I think adding Kane and showing that Eisman was willing to make that move and that thing happened showed me that he's at least willing to try and make this team better and kind of lead that direction. Now, at the same time, I don't think he's going to be as aggressive as people want him to be, because I think people need to realize that you can't build rosters like you could in the early 2000s and late 2000s. You know, there's a salary cap. The move that needs to be made, though, I really think, is that's a Calgary call. Probably see if Jakob Markstrom's there. And I know it's not a sexy pick, but again, he's probably a 2 to 3 year option. Buys you enough time for Sebastian Kosa. If
there it is.
It's going to be the real deal.
So you're with me. We need a goalie. We got to go get a goalie.
Right. Well, you got to go get a goalie, and you probably need one more player up front. I don't think Sprong, Fisher, Perron, I don't think any of those UFAs are going to be back. They might try and trade away Fabry because he's a productive player with 1 year left, and you might need a cap space if you're going to be signing, and again, obviously you're signing Raiders, Raymond, Sider, Foligno. So, I mean, those contracts are going to eat up a good amount of what you have. And then I think the rest of it's just plug and play from Grand Rapids. I don't think you're going to get every kid up like some of these other people are saying. I think
because you know what that would mean? If you brought every kid up, you wouldn't make the playoffs.
Right, and I think there's this
I agree with you, Mike, that at some point you're 5-3, but like you want your expectations to make the playoffs, and I agree. But I think that this year was different simply because I think this was the first year or second year where you finally could get rid of those really bad contracts that stink, right? That just stunk.
Well, you got big. you got one that probably has to go, and it's Kopp.
Well, and I guess the big thing though is they've got one more year left of Verona. They have only one more year left of his contract in terms of the buyout. They got like 2 more years left of Advocator's money. We'll see if they can even try and parlay that into a trade of some kind. I wouldn't be. If I had to put money on it, it would probably be either him or Justin Hall gets bought out this summer. They got one more window left to use, Mikey. And I think from there on, maybe Eisman looks at it. Because, again, Advocator's off the books in 2 years in terms of his buyout. And, I mean, it's only $1 million. It's not like it's going to break your back, you know, break your back. But at the same time, it is something to possibly consider. It really is.
Yes.
I mean, do I think, like you said, do I think Kopp's going to get the end of the deal? Maybe. But at the same time, I don't think he's been maybe as productive of a player offensively as you'd like. Defensively, I think he's fine. But probably not for that cap hit.
No, and not for a guy who probably profiles to end up being a third or fourth liner once all your big guns are up here and you're in true Stanley Cup contention. That number won't make any sense. No, Garrett, I'm with you in this regard. I think the goaltender has to be a part of it. Obviously, you need to get better on the blue line. Maybe you have some solutions there. I'm trying to address the one thing you don't have a solution for.
I still think maybe Eisman would consider adding a player on the blue line. It would just depend on what the price is on that, whether it's by trade or free agency, but go ahead and cut you off.
Yeah, look, the problem is always, what's the marketplace? And I know the one thing, right. Garrett, you're right. We've talked about it. Goalie's the most expensive thing to go and get. It would have to be a trade. And you got to let go. Like, we do have to stop worrying about draft picks now. Like, if you're on the edge of playoffs and you have your sacred cows in your farm system, everything else has to be willing to move.
So you've hit the F them pick status?
Not quite. I think F them picks is like, hey, we failed in the Eastern Conference Finals twice. We need to get over the hump now, like, sell your soul to Satan.
Gotcha.
But no, Rico, I think you like, it's so amazing to me where, like, Red Wing fans, no, oh my God, we can't do the old fourth round pick. No. We can't. We need to come down off that altar. It's okay to tactically use your draft capital, that if it helps clean up the books a little bit, it helps you maneuver more. Mm-hmm. I think we have to enter that. And look, if I need to give up legitimate capital to get a goalie, is that crazy? No. I don't think so.
No, it's a position of need.
And so,
And like you said, you're not going to just get something for nothing. You got to give up something. So, yeah, you're going to probably have to lose some of the young players.
Trying to sell Kenny Varlamov for a few prospects. Just, you know, listen, I'll paint the helmet. You'll be all right. We can turn it red and white. It'll be okay. I don't have any. Kenny, it's the truth. Whether you call up Calgary, whether you go to the Islanders, you got it. Look, hell, hadn't Boston had two goalies for ages? Like, you got to be able to pry one from somebody. Because the other thing that's a dirty secret in the NHL is a lot of teams are in bad cap situations. So that backup goalie becomes a luxury instead of a necessity.
No, and I think you said it too. I think at a point, picks need to stop mattering. And I'll tell you what, if they're not buying at the deadline next year, I don't know what's going on. That has to be a buy now situation.
It's basically a preview of if the Tigers hang around and they're in the mix this summer in the worst division that David and Rico's God has ever created. If they don't buy at this deadline, I will have nothing to offer these listeners. There's nothing. You eventually have to go and do something.
What if you try to make a move, but it fails at the last second? Does that count?
A car is here to pick you up and take you to Bali. Your interview is at 6:30 with John Keating. Leave here. Leave right now.
They say my Uber's here.
Simo! You sound like you're fit for a roll over there. 248-539-9797. We'll get more to people. Lots left to do. All right, David, a couple of ticket texts. We will get to crosstalk. This is a blessed occasion. It's the once a month. Wojo is both sober and at work. Mark Ryan as well. We'll get to him. David, some ticket text, please.
Someone says Lalonde equals Jim Caldwell. Would you agree?
That's an insult to Jim Caldwell.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
I don't think much of Derek Lalonde. I'm sorry.
And you know, a lot of people just bash Jim Caldwell, but he actually did a lot I don't, you know.
His problem was just any critical moment of the game, he'd bleep himself.
All right. We just remember the pitch back and forth type of thing, but it's not
And decorum.
Well, a little decorum. But, I mean, it's not like, you know, he didn't throw a flag on Thanksgiving Day for a play that the referee begged you not to throw the flag so we could reverse the call. Okay, you're going to throw it anyway.
Look at this guy. Pale as ever.
I'm sorry.
I'll read another text as Wojo comes to work.
Saunters. Yeah, once a month.
Wojo, hey.
If making the playoffs in year five of a rebuild not a goal, then...
Who the hell is this
sitting across from me?
You need a headset to do radio.
Right.
David is talking.
David is speaking. David, basically what he said was, your kind doesn't matter.
Exactly. I just wanted to know what the hell is going on here.
Don't worry, David. He gave me his keys. I'm going to go park his car.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Can you get it right by the front door if you don't mind?
No, this time, Rico, you have to clean it from the rain.
Yes, I will, Mr. Wojo.
Mr. Wojo, sir.
Okay, now I will tell you, even I am starting to feel uncomfortable.
I am too, quite frankly.
Takes a lot, but I've arrived there. Mark, Bob, hello. First of all, congratulations coming to work.
Yeah. What? This is the first time I've been scheduled.
Your BAC's been below one.
Yeah.
I just listened to you, Valenti, say no one gets credit for doing what
his microphone's not on. We're really off and running.
There we go. That's why I sound the way I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike, I was listening to you say you don't get credit for doing what you're supposed to do.
No.
That's 100% right.
Right.
You cannot tell us that what the Red Wings just did was a success.
Right.
And you should expect, look, this team has gotten better every single year. That's great. But at some point, you have to set the break-even
point. But I have a caveat.
Captain Caveat is back, huh?
I should get credit just for showing up, don't you think? Shouldn't I?
I mean, is that where the bar is?
Yeah!
David, what's the drop we've been playing all day?
Oh, hold on.
I'll take that.
No,
not that one.
I'm sorry. It was right next to each other.
Play it again. That's this town's new catchphrase.
Well, you know what? For multiple
Wojo's
reasons.
Here at work. David?
Yep.
Wojo made it to work.
Mm-hmm. For multiple reasons, I want the bar as low as it can be. I mean, for me, personally. As for the teams, we should shoot for a little bit higher. Yeah.
This city is getting a C from its sports teams right now. I mean, that's better than an F. Used to be an F. Mm-hmm. But it's tough to be stuck talking about the perpetual purgatory of mediocrity.
Wait.
He's been here 10 minutes. It's tough to talk about it.
It's tough. Hey, Mike, the Lions glow, the Pistons blow, the Red Wings got a big no, and the Tigers are sputtering to go. Okay? Is that where we are?
Yeah.
That is where we are.
I'm a fan of poetry.
Let me just tell you, right here, right now, in that 30 seconds, probably more work you can get out of him.
Whoa, please. No, a C overall. The Lions are pulling everybody up. I mean,
no.
The Lions,
wait.
It would be.
And when you grade things, the Lions and the Pistons canceled each other out.
Oh, throw out the best and the worst.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
The Lions actually needed to win the Super Bowl in order to cancel out the Pistons because they were god awful.
No, they needed to win multiple Super Bowls in one year.
So now you're looking at the Wings and the Tigers.
So they're neck and neck as far as...
They're C's,
C's.
They're C's.
Why don't you connect the dots? Who owns the team?
Because
it's basically the same damn thing.
Christopher Ehrlich. Yeah, I got that one right. Mm-hmm.
I thought you meant T-shirt.
I don't have a great... Listen, I'm not saying the Iser plan is bad. What I never liked is where we deified this guy and acted like, listen, you ignoramuses... Guys, here's the deal. Like, if this was the Baltimore Orioles on ice, I'd be a lot more excited. There are a lot of dead bodies on this roster.
Don't worry. He will earn his deification. He will. Trust me on that.
By doing what?
Eventually.
He hasn't yet.
Wait. Who are we talking about?
Iserman.
Okay, so we're on the Harbaugh plan. I'm going to need the better part of a decade in a cheating scandal.
Well, yeah. I mean, no one thought they would win a cup in 5 years, right?
No, but okay. I thought they'd be in the playoffs. I thought it would look better than this.
And
I thought they'd be better than 26th
nice.
In goals against.
But they came up one millisecond short.
No. You know what? Getting it. They launched themselves balls first into a wood chipper the last 5 weeks of the season. You can't do this whole bit where, like last night, I'm sorry, And Ken Daniels is one of the best in the game. But that whole low-hanging fruit attitude of like, here, everybody, here, pores. What if I told you at the start of the year? No!
But
February 29th, we had 9 points to the cut line.
You can't play both angles, though. You can't say, well, they were 8 points above, and they... Well, they got to 8 points above. It wasn't handed to them.
And then they tripped on a Lego and broke their neck.
Yeah, well, Joe, you're in the wrong studio. Bally's is somewhere else.
Oh, please. Oh, please. You know...
Sometimes life lemons.
I'm not saying it was a successful season and a good. I just think you are too mean to Wet Red Wings fans. You should leave them alone. They should be allowed to celebrate overtime wins.
Celebrate what? Yeah. Celebrate what?
But Bob, you can celebrate.
No, in
it,
the
but
moment.
Okay,
in
but
the
it
moment.
Did it clinch a playoff spot? No.
No.
Okay, so. What you celebrated was, oh, goody, I get to go to the corner with a sign begging for money tomorrow night.
No, everything is not an analogy. They got to do something you never do. They celebrated a moment. You never do that.
No, I celebrate greatness.
Okay.
No. They
try to lose a moment then.
But they literally had a moment because the second the goal went in, it was like, oh, and by the way.
That's all they got was a moment.
The Capitals just scored an empty netter. So.
Which is what happens when you need other people to do your work.
But it literally was a moment. It was like five seconds. Please. You felt good, and then it was gone.
Mark, do not let him. Do not let him corner you.
Get ready to duke it out, pal.
Mark, do you want me to call Jeff Rieger instead? I'll call Jeff right now.
Let's make it happen, man. I need that to happen right now.
Do not let Rieger in this studio.
This is way too, he's way too good cop for me today.
Oh, wait, this
way
is going to be good because there's no game right now. You guys are doing a whole show.
No, it's unadulterated. You might actually get Wojo for 2 hours.
You know what the difference is? I'm not black and white. I don't live in a black and white world. I appreciate both sides, the world would be a better place if people at least appreciated both sides. Because of people like you, the world is a bleep hole. It is. Everything you ask me, this is great or this is awful.
I think he just called you a bleep hole.
Yeah, no, the world is a bleep hole because of people.
And he said something about your mother.
Because of your mother.
Because I'm not a loser like you. Because I don't tolerate mediocrity and I want so badly for us to have fun.
You're still here, so you're tolerating it, right?
I tolerate working with you, yes. The point I'm making is it's all about championships. Otherwise, what's the point of sports?
Well, go back to New York where all they do is win championships, right? Let's see, the Knicks, the Rangers, the Jets,
That's the whole angle
of it. The Mets, the Islanders, You tolerated that.
No, I don't. I'm miserable. Well, that's the whole point. The Yankees are good, except they don't win the World Series, which means they suck.
Your misery.
And that's the rules you sign up for as a fan.
Your misery hasn't been obvious.
The Red Wings.
Throw another log on the fire. Let's talk MSU. Another log on that fire.
Here's the difference. I think more of the Wings than this idiot. Because I view the Wings as the Yankees of hockey. They are one of the great American franchises. Therefore, why would I lower myself to your level? It's about a parade.
When did the Yankees win a World Series?
2009, it hurts.
I'm just saying.
Why do you think I want Cashman fired?
Even the great franchises have to refine their way sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's been 8 years and I'm impatient.
I'm not absolving
them. Mark, fix this.
Here's my challenge. I get here and they say, don't be Valeni. That's what they say. Don't be Valeni. Out of his mouth is 100% on point.
Oh, no.
Would you stop being sponsored by Charmin?
Oh, no.
Would you stop that?
Hey, guys. Rico, I'm only contractually obligated to be here till 5:55.
They hired another one.
Okay. David.
Oh, no.
Whoa. Shut it all off. All right.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.